Welcome to another edition of The Eggs Away, a podcast where leaders of industry and government share their thoughts on defense contracting in Canada. This is Alex McPhail, and I'm pleased to introduce you to another volume of The Eggs Away. Today, I'm speaking with Ryan McKinney, President of Satellogic North America. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here and looking forward to the conversation.
Me too. So today we're going to talk about satellite industry and geospatial world. Can you tell me how you got involved in that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm certainly not the remote sensing expert. I did not start there with my career. I sort of fell into it, I guess you could say. But essentially, when I first started from a career perspective, I started in cybersecurity. You know, I was selling hardware and software for a good portion of my career. But I kind of got to a point where I realized there is no such thing as cybersecurity. You're never secure. And I kind of got to a point where I was more interested in the risk side of things. So I had an opportunity to spend some time in Silicon Valley working for different companies there, and really became fascinated with studying of cyber risk and the type of data you needed in order to really assess whether or not somebody or a company was at risk or not. And I really began to realize the importance of, you know, many, many different data sets need to be combined in order to tell the full story. There was a company I was part of that was acquired and then slowly started looking into the geospatial world and had an opportunity to run data strategy for a geospatial analytics firm. And that was really my first dive into planetary scale geospatial data and trying to figure out ways that you could make sense of it for things outside of the Department of Defense, Intel community, and what types of use cases different data sets could be used for. That was sort of the start of it for me. When I kind of got into it, it becomes somewhat addicting. The more you dive into it, the more you realize you don't know, but the more you want to learn more about it. So it's been a fun industry to be in.
It sounds like something you backed into with pleasure.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I certainly didn't plan it, but I'm certainly thankful for where I am today.
That's great. And now you're with Satellogic. Can you tell me a little bit about Satellogic? What do you do? Who are your customers? And what makes Satellogic different?
Sure, absolutely. I run Satellogic North America, but Satellogic North America is a wholly owned subsidiary of Satellogic Inc. And Satellogic North America was purpose-built in order to support the government of Canada, the U.S. government, and also NATO. By doing that, you know, we look to support not just defense and intelligence communities, but as we also looking at civilian government and other ways that this data can be applied. Satellogic, the parent company, along with Satellogic North America, provides high resolution imagery or high resolution imagery data from our satellites. We currently have 26 satellites in orbit, adding 4 more to our constellation before the end of the year. And we have the ability to image any location on Earth up to 7 times a day. The reason that becomes interesting is the more you can image at a planetary scale, the more use cases you can unlock and the more value you can get out of the data.
So any point on the planet, 7 times a day.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's important to call out, you know, there's areas of the world, you know, think of the poles, for example, where typically you're not getting that same. But if you think about the regions where most people are interested in tracking, those areas can be imaged up to 7 times a day.
Wow. That seems very impressive. You know, when most people think of satellites, and I have a little bit of background in the satellite world, I think they think of communication systems, you know, relay systems or an orbiting platform that takes pictures and transmits an array of pixels down to a ground station. But you guys do more than that. Can you talk to me about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this kind of ties into what makes us different We have a very interesting platform. Our satellites are roughly 40 kilograms. I think, you know, from a size, think of it, you know, kind of like a home dishwasher is a good gauge for that. And the satellite has two different types of sensors on it. One is a multispectral sensor. And from that, we can take images, but also provide full motion video. And then another sensor on the same satellite is our hyperspectral sensor, which again is a really unique data set, has a lot of applicability, very sophisticated data set, but something that we see a lot of value out of coming, you know, soon. And then the final piece to that is there's an open bay that sits on our platform that we can work with our partners, end user government customers, or even commercial customers that are interested in looking at how can you apply edge computing in space for use cases that matter to, you know, whoever it is that we're working with. And that's an interesting, quite a differentiator for us, you know, in the marketplace.
So when you say an open bay, I assume you don't mean that there's a hole in the satellite, that there's something there that you can program. There's a computer there, and that you can send up a mission program for a customer.
That's right. Yeah. It's not a gaping hole in the satellite. It certainly is a, think of it in a sense that we provide the hardware, the customer provides the software.
Okay.
And so what it becomes is a way for people to decide what is it that they want coming down. Do they need the whole image, or do they need only a small portion of it because they're looking for something very specific? You know, this becomes really interesting when you think about object or feature identification. You know, you may not need, you know, a 200 square kilometer collect when actually you're just looking for some very specific images or very specific objects in a specific region. It's a unique way to leverage the satellite, and it's something that we see as a potential for growth, you know, moving forward.
Okay, so this open bay gets programmed to do some digital image recognition, and then it sends down only the information relevant to what the client's looking for.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the use cases. There's others that we're looking at as well, but you know, for instance, Palantir, which is one of our partners, they are leveraging this right now. They actually were just speaking about this as part of the Reagan Defense Forum. They had a podcast not too long ago speaking about this, so I'm allowed to mention it. But it's a way for our partners who are providing, you know, unique solutions to their customers. It's a good way for us to partner.
I can see that. And I can see that the satellite retains relevance after you've launched, because I assume you can repurpose the satellite as new customers come on board.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, I think the other interesting thing that is kind of separates us from the competition is we build all of our own satellites. So, you know, we spent the first 10 years of our existence really trying to focus on how do we keep the costs low? How can we innovate at the speed of innovation, right? How can we improve the technology? And how do we secure the supply chain so that, you know, we can be as cost effective as possible? I think we all know that the cost of launches has come down significantly. And as we continue to look for how we can save costs on the manufacturing of the satellite, this allows us to be very competitive with the pricing of our data, which we think is, you know, one of the barriers to entry in this market, I think, is, you know, getting this data out of the hands of just the subject matter experts or the people who've been around it for decades. But really, how do we bring this market to a much larger audience? And that's really what we want to focus on.
Okay, so you have a constellation of satellites, and you have enough satellites in that constellation that you can sample a terrestrial object 7 times a day. Low cost innovation, and you have a robust supply chain. So how many satellites do you have in orbit right now?
Right now it's 26. We'll have 30 by the end of the year. And then our launch schedule has us launching at least 4 every quarter until we get to a full size constellation. And right now we think that will be roughly say 200 satellites. What that gives us is the ability to remap the planet every day. That's the ultimate vision for Satellogic.
So should Google Map be worried?
No, we should be partnering with Google Maps. Yeah, we certainly don't see us replacing. I see us augmenting in places like that.
So the last time you and I spoke, you talked about something that I wanted to pull a thread on because I don't think I completely understood it. You talked about the democratization of satellite imagery. Can you explain what that means and what Absolutely. The benefits of that are?
Yeah, I think if you take a look, satellite imagery, Earth observation data as a whole is not new. It's been around a long time, decades, and people have been using it for all sorts of different use cases. I think what is challenging is that this data can have some barriers to entry. It can be hard to access. It can be hard to get a hold of. There's limitations on licensing, limitations on where you can go and how you can get access to it. You know, traditionally, you had to be a remote sensing expert to know what to do with the data. But what Satellogic really believes in and what we want to try to enable is getting this data to be easier to use, easier to access, because we feel that the more people using the data, the more innovation that comes out of it. And I think the more society gets to benefit from it.
Okay, so you're not just talking about putting satellites in space and taking pictures and videos. You're also talking about making the data more accessible to businesses and people who would like to use
Correct.
It.
Correct. That's okay. Right. Yeah.
So when people listening to this hear the word democratization of data, especially remote sensing data, there could be a concern about privacy, especially when you have satellites that have precision level resolution. So how do you address that concern?
Well, I guess I'll start with one of my biggest pet peeves is when you look at media, for example, and they show you an image and they mention that it came from a spy satellite. It's not a spy satellite, right? We're talking okay. about, sub-meter down to maybe 70 centimeter resolution. We can certainly see that, there may be individuals or there might be a person standing somewhere. We may be able to tell you that there's a car in a location. Okay. I'm not going to be able to tell you what kind of car, right? I'm not going to be able to tell you pieces, information that gets to the point of an individual's privacy. Now, it doesn't mean that down the road, resolutions won't improve to where that becomes possible. But what I would say to that is that's where the obligation of proper licensing structure comes into play, right? And I think also making sure that, you're good stewards of the technology and you're doing everything you need to be doing in order to protect the privacy of citizens. So I think part of the responsibility of being able to do what we do is making sure that we're good stewards with the information that we have.
So you build that into your licensing agreements then?
Yeah. I mean, our licensing agreements gives you ways in which you're allowed to use the imagery. And then there are times, where you have to adhere to the statements within the license.
So when you have, I'm going to call them missionized satellites, and I'm not sure if that's the right term, but basically you have a client who comes to you and asks you to do something and you can program your satellite to do it. When you have those missionized satellites, what advancements, as more satellites and as you develop your own satellites with new materials and technologies coming on board, how do you see the whole satellite technology evolving and what impacts do you see?
I think just like everything, there's a logical evolution. There's an evolutionary path that technology takes. And, we've gotten really good at taking pictures from space or, providing communications from space. I think what we have to do is become a little bit more intelligent. I think the next step is what becomes of a constellation that can decide where it needs to look, when it needs to look there, and what type of data is going to provide the most insight. So I think where we're headed is constellations will be a little bit more intelligent. Okay. They'll probably have edge processing that allows you to look forward, see what it is that you're interested in, and then determine Does it need, you know, from a Satellogic perspective, you know, do you need to task a full motion video, or do you want a hyperspectral image, or do you want you know, just a traditional MSI image? So I think, you know, over time, I think that's where we're going to get to. But just like everything, you know, space is very hard. So it's going to take us some time before those types of things really come to large scale.
So what I'm hearing then is that some of those decisions then are going to happen on board the satellite through the mission software, as opposed to brute force surveillance data coming down to a ground station and then poring over all of that data and trying to understand what's happening after the fact.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, that's, to me, that's the logical progression, right? Is getting the data to the user in the way that they need to consume it. And typically when a when somebody, especially from a commercial use case, right, they may not need the entire square kilometers of a collect. But if I can get them the image they need on their phone or their tablet in a remote location, and it's just the information they need, then it just seems that that opens up a whole new way in which this data can be leveraged.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here. I can see that the first thing that that does is it gets more relevant information to the user, but also a lot faster. That there's much less processing on the ground when there was real time or near real time processing happening on board the satellite.
And I mean, we can all think of different use cases, think of disaster response, you know, any sort of wildfire detection, or you know, and obviously the DNI use cases as well. But I do think that's the direction we're headed. And I do think it opens up a whole new, you know, area for us to explore.
And I assume I'm just, you know, thinking off the top of my head here, I could see even some predictive capabilities like volcanoes and things like that show potential for erupting sometime in the future.
Well, I mean, if you can start to build models that you launch and you can communicate between satellites, and maybe you see that there's some level of change, and you can talk to another satellite in your constellation to tell you, you know, what to do next, or where to look, right? I
I
mean,
just
and
overflew this. You need to take another look at it.
exactly, right? And you know, we're not there yet, but I do 100% believe that's the direction that this industry will be moving.
So a lot of our listeners are in the defense and security areas. How do you see this application in that field?
I think you look at it from any sort of object feature identification, time series, or change detection. You know, if you're monitoring ports and you're starting to see, you know, containers move, you know, personnel carriers change locations, you may decide you want to take a different look, you know, and maybe originally it was a MSI, you know, typical image. And now you're deciding, well, gosh, maybe I want to have a 60-second FMV full motion video collect, so I can, you know, gather more information. So, you know, that's just a quick one. But I'm sure there's a whole host of other things that can come out. I mean, if you look at, you know, even from an MSI image, you know, over open water, you know, you can look at a wake and determine the location, or you could determine the direction of a vessel. But if you wanted to start doing some further analysis of that, you may want to trigger other satellites to look to see, you know, what speed are they going, you know, how, where do we think they're headed? You know, there's all sorts of things like that could kind of come into play.
I could see how software could be issuing a trigger when a vessel goes off course, or
Correct.
when there's movement of mobile forces.
Well, and when you combine, say, AIS data, right, shipping data with imagery, and perhaps you've got the history of a certain vessel, and you know where it's supposed to go, but it's not going where you think it's supposed to be, right? Now you can build alerts and start looking for that vessel.
As we explore it, I can see how the opportunities become endless. Okay, well, listen, I want to thank you so much for this really interesting discussion. I think we could talk all day. But I just wanted to give you the opportunity to close if you had any thoughts.
I really appreciate the time. We've had a wonderful time, you know, meeting with the Government of Canada and DND, NRCan, and others, and just, you know, through the work that we've been a part of so far, we're really excited for the opportunity to support I think what's also really interesting for me is to see Canada's focus around space, not only saying they want to be thought leaders, but doing everything to be and continue to be thought leaders from space or around space. And I think that's great to see. I hope we get to play a long-term small role in that. Again, just thank you so much for the opportunity. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Okay, well, best of luck to you on that.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Ryan McKinney, president of Satellogic North America, and this is The Eggs Away.
And thanks for everyone for joining us on this podcast. We hope that you've enjoyed it, and I hope that you found it informative. EGSA receives no advertising revenue or funding for this podcast. EGSA is wholly owned, privately held Canadian company and has no ownership affiliations with any other companies. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the position of the EGSA Consulting Group. This podcast is copyrighted by the EGSA Consulting Group. For more information on this or any other topics, we invite you to join us online and to communicate with us at any time. Thank you both.